you go. All right. Are you ready for God's word? Amen, amen. You know, sometimes as parents, we've got to remind our children of things they already know, isn't it? Or is it just my kids? You know, you go and visit somebody, you say, and now remember to greet the people. Yes, Dad. And remember to look them in the eye. Yes, Dad. And you know, and sometimes, hey, remember to share with your sister. You know, it's like you've got to do that. And let me just say to you up front, this is exactly what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to be reminding us, all right, not just you. I'm reminding us of something we already know. And what is that? To serve. And so the title of my message this morning is Remember to Serve. Remember to serve. Why is that? Because our nature is to want to be served rather than to serve, isn't that? And we also live in a world where we kind of look down upon servanthood. And we think it's for the poor or the weak. We think it's something that's lowly or ordinary or even common. But you see, in God's kingdom, it's not the case at all. Jesus says those who want to be first will be last. All right? Let's look at the scripture here quickly. The last will be first, and the first will be last. That's what Jesus says. So in God's kingdom, the way to greatness is through servanthood. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus' disciples are arguing amongst one another, and they want to know who's going to be the greatest amongst us. And so Jesus hears this, and he says to them, he says, whoever wants to be great amongst you, so he gets their attention, yes, yes, must be your servant. No, no, Jesus. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. You know what he's saying to them? The way to greatness is through servanthood. And then he uses himself as an example, and he just quickly reminds them that he didn't come to be served. He's saying to them, have I ever asked you to constantly serve me? No, no, no. He says to them, just as the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. And I think this was such a significant statement to them. And I'm sure right there, their thoughts must have turned to the time where he washed their feet. Yes, the master washing the servant's feet. It was absolutely unheard of. Nobody did that. And yet he's doing that. I mean, the greatest leader of all time is a servant leader. And so Jesus showed them that. Now, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus and his disciples, then in the upper room, this is the night before the crucifixion, and Jesus asks them a question. And he says this, he says, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one reclining or the one serving? And there's silence in the room because they don't want to jump in and answer. They're like, this could be a trick question because they've seen what he does to the Pharisees. The Pharisees come with questions. And what does Jesus do? He answers a question with a question that they can't answer. And so they're thinking, we're not stepping into this trap. And it's not a trick question. And Jesus says to them, then he answers it. He says, all right, if you guys aren't going to answer it, I will. He says, the one who sits at the table, of course. That's the most important one. But not here. For I'm amongst you as one who serves. And so he's saying to them, society says the one sitting at the table is the most important. Come on, we know that. He says, but I'm telling you, the one serving is more important. Why? Because in God's eyes, servanthood is always more important. And so we just need to realize there's this battle always going on the inside between reclining and serving, between being served and serving. And so we look down upon servanthood and we think, no man, I've grown out of that. That's not for me. And I'm the boss and I'm the manager and I'm whatever it is. And we think we don't have to serve. And so all I'm saying this morning, don't ever look down upon servanthood and think that you know, we don't have to, or for some reason others have to serve us. Don't go there, because Jesus was a servant. And you and I are supposed to model our lives on His. He wants us to serve just like He did. All right. Now, one of the easiest ways I've found to grow in this area is just to ask yourself, how can I serve? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? And maybe it's a mother at school, and she's working and she can't drop the children off back home. You say, let me drop the kids off for you. Maybe it's a colleague at work and they snowed under their workload and you take some of their workload off them. Or maybe it's an elderly person, you know, as a neighbor, or maybe in your complex, and you just help them with something, or you just wash their car. And you know what I found? Sometimes it's good to actually ask them, how can I help you? Because if we go ahead and do what we think they need, we may actually be frustrating them. And sometimes it's good just to come and to say, hey, how can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? And you may be surprised. Serving very often is in the little things, not in the big things. You know, we were at a conference once, and during tea time, they had coffee and tea and everything set up for us. And on the other side of the building, it was quite a distance away, they had a coffee shop, and they said, you're welcome if you want to go and buy cappuccinos and things over there. And I thought, it's so far, I'm not even going to bother. And so I was hanging around over here just socializing with the other pastors, where the next moment one of our pastors, Pastor Andrew, tapped me on the shoulder and handed me a cappuccino. He had one, and there was one for me. I was like, wow, thank you very much. Thank you. And so he'd walked all that way and stood in the queue and came back. And so it was very nice. I never asked him to do it. I wasn't expecting it. It was thank you. And so the next tea break, somebody taps me on the shoulder. Here he's standing with a cappuccino again, but nothing for himself. So I said, where's yours? He said, no, I didn't want one, but there's one for you. And then the next day, he did exactly the same thing. And I realized what he was doing. He was just serving me. He was just blessed. Such a simple thing. Sometimes it's not in the big things at all. It's in the simple things. But I haven't forgotten. And as I share that example, maybe something comes to mind. And you remember somebody who served you in a simple way. And can I ask you, what are your thoughts? Are they positive or negative toward that person? Oh, it's extremely positive. When you think of somebody who served you, it's like, such gratitude, and you feel humbled, and it's like, wow, can you see why Jesus wants us to serve people in the smallest things? And I think sometimes, especially if you're in any form of leadership or management at work or whatever, I think we need to work a little bit harder at it. And I'm talking to myself, I really am. We need to work a little bit harder at this in this area, because what happens, we typically find ourselves being served, isn't it, rather than serving. And it's so easy to think, you know, I deserve it, and I've worked hard for it, and it comes with a position and all kinds of nonsense. And so I've made up my mind, I never want to be that person. It's almost like entitlement. I never want to be that person. I want to serve. I've made up my mind. I'd rather serve. And that's why I wasn't here last week. That's why I was in Grinstead speaking at another church. Normally, I would never do that. I've had so many invitations, even to go and speak overseas, and I've turned it down. I don't want to do that. Why? Because this is my first priority. This is my home, and this is where I want to be every single Sunday. So I'm sorry for you. You stuck with me. And so that's why I'm here all the time. But you see, I realized, Leonard, you've got to change that thinking. And maybe now and again, you've got to just go and speak at one or two of these churches and just go and help them and just go and be a blessing to them. And so all I'm saying to those of us in some form of leadership or management, we've got to be intentional about serving in this area. And so I'll make a point. My kids don't even know this, and I don't want them to hear this. But I wash their cars every single week. They should wash my car, man. And hopefully after this talk, they'll start doing it. But I keep my car and Liesl's car clean. I do that. But I've been doing their cars every single week. I'll make a point of it. Just quickly wash their cars. I'll make a point of just helping Liesl in the kitchen. And because for us as guys, you know, we sit around at home and we enjoy being served. So I just realized, you know, I've got to do that. Why do I do that? Because I need it. I don't think they really need it. I don't think really Liesl really needs it. She's pretty proficient in the kitchen. She can handle herself. But I need it. It's good for me. Because I found the more I do that, it keeps me humble. You see, it's very difficult to be selfish when you're serving, isn't it? It's very difficult to be all wrapped up in yourself and thinking about me when I'm busy helping other people. And so one of the best ways to stay humble is just to serve the people around about you. You know, I found so often we place our identity in our position or our profession. Please hear that. In our position or our profession. So in other words, I'm the leader. I'm the boss. You know, or I'm an accountant, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, whatever it is. No, let me say to you, you're a servant of God first and a doctor second, accountant second, all right? You're a servant by calling and a doctor by profession, or a leader, or a boss. So that's your profession. Don't get stuck on that. Don't let that ever become your identity. And so I think it's so important for us. Don't get caught in titles and positions. And especially if you're in the corporate world. It's so easy. And we've had it at times where some of the newer pastors come in and they pastor and they put it on Facebook. And when I hear about it, I say, take it off. But take it off. We got servant. Come on. You first got servant, and then whatever else it is, you know. And I think when we see it in that order, then we'll serve Jesus. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is busy preparing his disciples around this very thing about titles and positions and stuff. And he says to them, he says, don't do what the Pharisees are doing. Listen to this. He says, they, the Pharisees, love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called Rabbi, morning Rabbi. What is that? It's position. It's title. He says, don't do that. He says, but you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have one teacher, capital T. Guess who that is? Jesus. He says, and you're brothers. You're all on the same level. It doesn't matter what your position, doesn't matter how much is in the bank. Because when your heart beats the last beat, we're all exactly the same. Exactly. Do you know the Jewish people all get buried in exactly the same? In South Africa, simple pine coffin. The simplest, cheapest pine coffin. Overseas in Jerusalem, they'll bury them in a cotton bag. Whether it's the richest or the poorest. Why is that? Because when we die, we're exactly the same. It doesn't matter what was in your bank account. It doesn't matter what you drove yesterday. When we go to meet him, we're exactly the same. And when I stand before him, I want to be God's servant. All right. So all I'm trying to do this morning is just to change our thinking. Because culture conditions us to act a certain way. But I want us to start realizing and to start thinking, I'm God's servant. I'm God's servant. I'm the servant of the Most High God. And the way we serve God, listen to this, is by serving others. It's by serving others. The Bible says, truly I tell you, whoever did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. What he was saying is, when you serve them, you're serving me. And so you cannot serve God if you're not prepared to serve people around about you. It's just those two things go together. And so this is just something that we've got to really work on. You know, part of the Navy SEAL training is a 24-week course called BUDS. They normally have about 200 guys. Some girls sign up for this. These are the young men and women who want to be the best of the best in the United States. But they have such a massive drop off. Only 10% of that class will make it. 180 of them will drop off. When they reach the threshold of their pain, they ring a bell. This is what the bell looks like. And it doesn't matter where they are. You'll see that bell is on a temporary structure. They actually fasten it on the back of a Jeep. And wherever they're training, be it on the beach or wherever, that bell comes with. And they actually encourage the guys. They say, go and ring the bell. Go and ring the bell. Because they don't want guys who are half-hearted. They want the guys who can push through. And so they've done research to try and figure out what makes those 20% push through. And it's very interesting what they found. It's not the biggest or the strongest or the most athletic. It's the guys who help the person next to them. Isn't that amazing? When you and I start helping somebody else, when we take our eyes off what we're busy going through, good or bad, and I'm busy helping them, it enables us to go further. And somehow, you get God's favor upon you. And isn't that exactly what happened to some of the Jewish prisoners that came through the death camps, the Nazi death camps in World War II? Some of them made it, and so many of them didn't make it. And again, when they started researching and checking, how did these guys make it? Why did they make it? They found something very interesting. You see, one of Hitler's central strategies in the Nazi genocide against the Jews was starvation. And so these prisoners would receive just a little bit of food every second or third day. And if they took that little bit of food and consumed it all for themselves, those would typically be the people who didn't make it. But if they took that and shared that with the person next to them, with somebody else, they found those were the people that helped one another. Those were the people that ultimately made it through. Shouldn't really surprise us. Listen to what Scripture says. The generous will prosper. And those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And so if you have a person at work and everybody is picking on them, I'd suggest just be kind to them. Just encourage them. There's a child at school and everybody is picking on them. Just be kind to them. Just when you refresh others, you help others, you look out for somebody else, it's going to come back to you. But it starts with an attitude. It always serving starts with an attitude before it becomes an action. Just like I've made up my mind, I want to be a servant leader. I'm going to grow in servanthood, because you see what typically happens. The higher we go in leadership, typically, the less we serve. And I've made up my mind. Leonard, you better get ready because you're going to serve more. This is going to cost you. You want to be like Jesus. You want to stay humble. Just serve. And so it's an attitude. Can you imagine if we go into our marriages with that kind of attitude? Because I think so often we go into marriage, we'll never say this, but we think it. I hope she's going to make me happy. I hope she's going to be a good girl. Because, you know, I'm going to be a good husband. Of course I'm going to be a good husband, you know? Come on. But I hope she's going to be a good wife. Imagine if we went into marriage saying, I want to be the best husband that she can possibly want. I'm going to be a blessing to this girl. I'm going to blow her off her feet. Can you imagine if you had to have that kind of attitude? Imagine if you have two people in marriage trying to outgive one another, trying to outserve one another. Becomes a little bit of heaven on earth, isn't it? So it's time to nudge your wife, your spouse right now. Listen to him, baby. I've had young people ask me over the years, so many times, Leonard, how do I find my purpose, my destiny? How do I become successful in God's eyes? And I have one answer for them. Every time I have one answer. Serve. That's all you do. Just serve. Just serve. Wherever you are, doesn't matter whether you like them or don't like them. Doesn't matter whether you agree with them. Doesn't matter whether you can be a better boss or not. It doesn't matter. Just serve. You see, when we serve, God can take us forward. I get so blessed when I see so many of the young people in our church just serving. Because generally you look around and they just want to be served. They're very much entitled to these days. Not a Maranatha. I got here 7 o'clock this morning and it happens every single week. Some of the young people on stage already. Some of the 20s already busy here opening the doors for us, checking that everything is clean, getting everything ready, standing at the doors waiting to greet you and me. They're in their 20s. It's a Sunday. You know, I mean, any normal person will say to them, "Are you mad? You should be sleeping late, you know. This is the day to rest." And they say, "No, we're here to serve." And there's so many of them on the sound crew, on the cameras, on the multimedia, and the children's ministry. A lot of those, even young people, young and old, but a lot of young people. What are they doing? They're just serving us. Come on, let's give them a big hand. I'm proud of them, man. Sure. I was in my early 20s. Early 20s, I remember. And I'm busy watching Grand Prix one Sunday afternoon. And my dad calls me. And he says, "Can you lead praise and worship for me tonight?" He was supposed to lead, but he was battling with his throat and a bit of a cold and so on. And so I almost dropped the phone. I'm like, were you crazy? No, it's like, there's not a chance I'm standing in the front there and leading, but he needs help. So what am I going to say to him? So I say yes. And I end up leading the next couple of years. He caught me, man. I meant to slap him. And then a year or two later, they asked me if I would become a cell leader. And so I said, no, I can't do that. I don't know the Bible. You know, there's no ways I can do that. But, man, they caught me there as well. I said yes. I had no idea. I had no idea. Every time I said yes to serving, I was taking one step closer to my destiny. David said yes to taking cheese to the battlefield, to his brothers on the battlefield. And he had no idea that would be the entryway to him becoming one of the most famous kings of all of Israel, of all time. That story didn't start with them looking for the best marksman. They were just looking for a servant. Just somebody who would take some cheese to the battlefield. Listen to what the Bible says. One day Jesse, this is David's father, said to David, "Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing." So he says, come and tell me what's happening there. Take this to them and come and tell me. So essentially, he was taking cheese sandwiches, man. Toasted cheese, that's what he's taking. I think in that heat, it was probably toasted. And so that's what he's doing. He's taking cheese sandwiches. And one thing led to another. He had no idea. No idea. But he ends up killing their champion fighter, the best gladiator that the Philistines had ever had, and he goes and kills them. And it propels him to his destiny. It takes him forward. It was a simple thing like that. It all started with him saying yes to a mundane task of taking cheese to the battlefield, and that would ultimately unlock his destiny. Let me ask you that question again. So, Leonard, how do I find my destiny? How do I find my purpose and success in this life according to what God wants? Can you see why our answers serve? Just serve. Just serve. Just whatever you do, wherever you are, doesn't matter your position, doesn't matter your income, doesn't matter what's in the bank and what you drive, it doesn't matter. Just serve. So often in life, we wanna work hard and climb the ladder and promote ourselves, and we don't realize it's not the way the kingdom works. When we help somebody else and we promote them and we lift them up, before we know, we like, how did I get here? God promoted us. God takes us forward. And so one of the best things we can do is just keep helping others. I remind you of that scripture. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And so as long as you and I are focused on ourselves and getting ahead, we'll never go as far as what God has for us, because God does not work that way. But when we focus on others and helping them and push them ahead, before we know it, God has taken us forward. And so I want to say to you, the best way to the top is serve your way to the top. Just serve your way. The best thing we can teach our children, just serve your way to the top. Imagine if David had said, like so many of the millennials, it's not part of my job description. I wasn't hired to do this. Cheese sandwiches. You must be joking. I'm not doing that. Imagine if David had said, the prophet anointed me the other day. Do you realize who I am? I'm the future king. They should be serving me. I'm not running after them with cheese sandwiches. We probably wouldn't be reading about him today. And he would probably have missed his calling. Just with the wrong attitude. That's why I said to you, serving starts with attitude. It always starts with the right attitude. And most people don't realize this. Serving is the door to your calling. Serving is the door to your calling. When I came onto staff like 24 years ago, I'd come from my own business. I was my own boss. Now suddenly I'm on staff. I'm working under my father. And so now suddenly I've got a boss. No problem. No problem. It didn't bug me one single bit. You know why? Because I made up my mind right from that first day, I'm going to serve him. He's never had a pastor like this. That was my attitude. I'll serve him. I'll go out of my way to make his life easy. I'll wash his car. I'll pick up and drop off stuff, even if it's not spiritual. Whatever it is, I'm going to help him. I'm going to serve him. I had no idea. I had no idea. This is where I would end up today. And I find myself with a team serving me, blessing me, where sometimes I've got to almost stop them and say, hey, whoa, guys, enough now. You know, if I ask them to do something, and Cappy's the biggest culprit here, I ask him to do something, I've got to actually say to him, I don't need it today, because he'll get it done now. I've got to say to him, I don't need it today, just get it done sometime. But what's happened? I've sown that over the years, and I find myself today reaping that, just reaping that. You see, friends, it's our faithfulness in the little things. It's not the big things. It's the little things where we serve. You know, somebody said, a little thing is a little thing. But faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. Faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. And so when you're serving your boss week after week, month after month, it may be a little thing. Let me tell you, God doesn't see it as a little thing. It's a big thing. When you clean up the office and you haven't made the mess, you sort out at home, you haven't made up the mess, it's a little thing. But in God's eyes, it's a big thing. And when you're faithful in little, please hear me, God says, I'll reward you. Let me show you from Scripture. 1 Samuel 26, the Lord rewards those who are faithful and righteous. Galatians chapter 6. Let us not become weary in doing good. So in other words, he's saying, just be faithful. Just serve. Just keep on going and keep on going. Just keep on. Just don't quit. He says, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And so you may be thinking, Leonard, I can't serve these guys, you know, in the job that I'm in. Not these people. Please don't ask me to serve them. If God gave me another job, then another position, then I'll serve. No, you won't. You won't. Because if we can't be faithful in little, we won't be faithful in much. Jesus says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And the flip side is true. If we can't be faithful in little, we won't be faithful in much. Think about David. If David couldn't be faithful in the little thing, the cheese sandwiches, he wouldn't even find himself in front of the big thing called Goliath. All right? We've got to learn. Just be faithful in little. And when we are, that's when God says, you're ready for more. Now you're ready for more. Now you're ready for leadership. All right? That's when God takes us further. Do you know the word leader, just by the way, is found 6 times in the Bible? You say, no, that can't be. According to the King James Bible, 6 times. The word servant, how many times do you think it appears in the Bible? Is it 6 or 60 or 600? 845 times. What does that tell you? Servanthood is far, far more important than what we think. The way to the top is through serving. And so often, you know, we want to be the leader. I want to be the boss. I want to be. And God says, really? Just serve. Just serve. Serving is the door to your calling. Remember that. Serving is the door to your calling. You say, all right, but what if I'm serving, Leonard, and I'm getting no recognition? And nobody even sees it, and nobody even says thank you, and they don't recognize me. He does. He does. And that's all that matters. Because let me tell you, they're not supposed to know you're serving and you're doing this and all of that. They're not supposed to know. Oh, what do you mean? Let me show you. Matthew 6. When you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So in other words, people don't need to know that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, so in other words, he sees, he knows, will reward you openly. And so God sees when you're serving. God sees when you're blessing somebody. When you go the extra mile for your staff and they don't even appreciate it, they don't even say thank you, they don't even, God sees that. He'll reward you. Don't hassle about it. When you serve that elderly person, God sees that. When you bless somebody who can't repay you, but you just help them any case, God sees that. And he's going to reward you. Why? Because Scripture says so. You see, you cannot be good to others and God not be good to you. Because then he would be violating a universal principle. What's the principle? What you sow, you're going to reap. And so when you and I sow kindness, when we sow serving, when we help people around about us, don't be surprised when those things come back. Now, let me just end off with this last thought, and then I'm done. We don't serve because we want to reap. It's almost like tithing. You know, I'm tithing because I want to get back. No, that's not the motivation. I'm going to get back because he says so and because he's good. But the motivation, because I love him. I love him because he's been good to me. And everything I have is because of him. I gladly give back to him. And so I serve, not because I want back, and not because I serve, because God's been good to me. And Jesus is a servant. And I want to be a servant leader. I want to be more like Him. And so we do that because of our love for Him. And then God looks at that and He says, man, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And you're ready for promotion. Because you see, the higher we go in leadership, the more we're supposed to serve. I won't even look at a pastor who can't serve. Somebody who's entitled. Somebody who wants to be called the pastor. Nah, go to another church. Not yet. Not yet. And this team, we serve because Jesus served. Come on, let's stand. I want to pray for us. Now, before we pray, I want to give you a heads up. Because I'm going to ask that God make us greater servants. And if that's not what you want, I would suggest you duck now and you run out quickly. Open the doors, let them run. Because that's what I'm going to ask, all right? Lord, I'm not praying for these people this morning. I'm asking for myself that I would serve more. I would look for opportunities to serve. I won't look for excuses why I shouldn't be doing this and why I shouldn't be doing that. Help me to look for opportunities, not excuses. Help me to be a blessing to the people that you've placed in my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.